Welcome to Manager Tools. Trinity Pushback, one-on-ones, creative people, part one. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. What do I tell a direct who says he's too creative to do one-on-ones? Should managers be allowed to be completely creative? How important is being creative as a manager? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
As a manager, it's your responsibility to groom a second in command. One day you'll have to leave your team to move on to bigger and better things. Don't leave them in the lurch. Leave them with someone who's been groomed to take over. Bringing your 2IC with you to the Effective Manager Conference is the ideal way to train them to be a Manager Tools manager. Sign up today at manager-tools.com/training and let us train them for you.
We get all sorts of questions from managers in the field about pushback on one-on-ones, and it comes in many forms. We've talked about some of them before, but we're going to talk about one specifically today, which is pushback we get from people who consider themselves creative, right? They say, I'm a creative person. I don't like step-by-step solutions. Yeah. And I think you and I certainly agree these reasons are pretty weak, and luckily for us, the objection is pretty easy to overcome.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are people who are listening and go, oh my gosh, they're going to take a shot at creative people. Here we got two engineers. And if they're really going to go out on a limb, they're going to say two old white guys.
And they have, and they do, which yeah. is just insulting, but okay.
Look, as you might imagine, creativity is really important in management, just like it is in everything else. More creativity is better. But you don't get to say, I'm only creative, right? In order to be an effective person, you have to have other skills and traits and characteristics and abilities. But there really are a lot of misconceptions about management. And one of the most pernicious is that managing others is a completely individual endeavor, that each manager gets to manage his or her own way. Now, we could go into a 15-minute discussion, which I won't, for why people think that. And I'll also tell you, I can understand why people think that way. It doesn't surprise me at all. It is a completely normal response to how management is trained, how it's treated, how it's talked about, how it's modeled by executives who, after 15 to 20 years in a large organization, should absolutely be paragons of management. And yet when you go to them and say, hey, how do I do this? They're like, oh, you'll figure it out. Like, what is it? Some secret society? I didn't get the skull and bone ring. And so therefore, you know, yeah, anyway. So if you think, you know, each manager gets to kind of do his or her own thing in management, you are completely normal and utterly wrong, at least in terms of how professional management is done. But in terms of your life experience, it's a completely reasonable way to think. But again, it's reasonable in terms of an inference you're making about the world around you, but it's ludicrous and it's wrong and it's ineffective to be thinking every manager gets to do this thing his own way. And so that means, obviously, the reducing that down. Creative people, and we hear this a lot. You know, I'm a designer, I'm a graphic person, you know, I'm a strategist, so I'm very blue sky-ish, I'm a marketer. You know, I'm a this, I'm that. So all those job titles. So therefore I'm creative, and they don't like the idea of some basic principles and some tools, a la manager tools, to be part of how they manage people. And so they say, you know, I want to manage my own way. And if you're a director and you have a manager who reports to you who says that, or if you're a trainer or if you're an HR leader, don't let them get away with it. That sounds terrible. It sounds like they're breaking out of jail. But rather, there are things you can do to talk to them to explain why. It's not a sufficient defense to say, hey, I'm creative, so therefore I don't have to do this.
Yeah, I will get into it later. But there's a lot of creative people, very famous creative people, who've written movies and books and stuff, and they will tell you that structure is an effective tool.
I'm embarrassed that in all my reading, I never saw it in print, in a book or in an article or something, but I was at Disney World and there was a new part of Disney World being worked on. And a lot of people who know Disney World and Disneyland and Disney everything else have heard this quote before. And there's a part of the park that's being worked and they have nice, I don't know what they call it. There's a word for it, but it's escaping me. Protective fencing or whatever that goes up around an area that allows people to work inside, but you're not exposed to it. And there's a sign on the wall, and it says when the new area is going to open up. And underneath it, it says even creative people need deadlines.
I have seen that. Yeah. Sign is great.
It's pretty neat. So look, three things we want to talk about. First of all, I've already alluded to it. Being creative or being a creative person isn't a sufficient defense against one-on-ones or any other prescriptive management behavioral tools, systems, processes. To be fair, for those of you who are creative and are worried about that, I certainly wouldn't recommend a manager say, I want none of your personality in this job. I want you to just do these things, do them like a drone, don't be creative. Of course, we're not saying that, and we'll get into that more. Second thing, creativity is good. It really is. After having some science applied to management. And then the third area, we're going to do sort of one of our favorite things at Manager Tools, which is how it might sound when you put it all together, how it might sound, some paragraphs that you can use. Of course, if you're a licensee, you can print out the show notes and read them, or copy and cut and paste them into something that you can prepare, how it might sound if you're going to talk to a manager or somebody. You're trying to convince somebody, hey, being creative is not the defense you think it is. I'm glad you're creative, but I would recommend that not everything requires only creativity.
All right. So let's get to it. Let's talk about the first point. Being creative isn't a sufficient defense against one-on-ones.
Yeah. So again, this is not a diatribe against creative people. In fact, I got told about 5 years ago that I was a creative person. And Mike and I laugh about that because he and I are pretty linear and logical and rational, factual, and, you know, show me the numbers and I don't believe you, and what's the data, and what's the mean, and what's the median, and, you know, we have pretty high-level BS factors in terms of people saying, it's free, and it'll change the world. Nah, no, it won't. I said, well, no, I'm actually not a creative person. And they said, well, but you've created a lot. And this little switch went off in my head and said, oh, yeah. Yeah, that there's a difference between thinking of oneself as a creative person and actually doing creative things. We'll come back to that.
Well, I'm the high C here, right? And I can tell you, you're pretty logical. People who are not aware internally, like folks, we do stuff like we look at scatter plots, we look at box plots, we talk about means and deviations, and we look at data, and yeah, so we actually do all that stuff. But I must tell you, being Mark's partner, like almost every day, but we'll just keep it to at least complete reality, which is at least every week Mark comes up with some idea, and I'm still trying to figure out how to implement the last idea. So you can be logical and be creative. They're not mutually exclusive.
The other thing about being creative is I think people often mistake it for blue sky new ideas that are revolutionary, and that's not fair to the vast majority of the world. There are people like that. I don't think of myself or Mike as one of them. And they're a joy to be around within reason. Some of them are a little bit crazy. But people who have that insight, who have a particular ability to combine ideas and in new ways and really show us a new path, it's wonderful. On the other hand, I find myself being creative when people say, yeah, we really can't do that. And I'd say, well, sure you can. You do this and then this. And you change this thing and you abstract it up a little bit and then you do that. Like, oh yeah, that'll work. And then right after I did that, somebody said, that was pretty creative. I'm like, I don't think it was creative. I think it was necessary. I was just being effective. All I wanted was this. And I'm willing to look at all the Mahjong tiles on the board, the dominoes on the board and go, how can I get there? And they said, yeah, but I didn't see that. I'm like, well, maybe it's because you're 30 and I'm 50. I don't think of getting older as making people more creative. But anyway, sorry, tangent, guys. So look, a lower level manager who says, yeah, I'm a creative person, and therefore they shouldn't be required to engage in using tools and management. And I would even say more broadly, and part of the value of this cast is the more broadly bit, if they shouldn't be required to engage in tools about management guidance or anything else, that person is just misguided. And hopefully you've caught them earlier in their career so you can help them understand the essential hollowness of saying, I'm a this kind of person, so therefore that doesn't apply to me. We could have a long discussion about the gray area between individuals and organizations. I used to have hanging on my wall, Mike, I don't know if you ever saw it. It's fairly small. It was a picture of a river emptying into the ocean. I want to say it was the Mississippi, but actually I'm pretty sure it wasn't, just because the Mississippi is a particularly unique case in terms of its hydraulic power. But the point was, is that what looked like the ocean from the beach on either side of the mouth of the river, where you would look out and see ocean, meaning water away from the beach, right? This river emptied into the ocean, and it was river water, fresh water, and silty fresh water for probably a quarter mile out from the beach, mm-hmm. out from the edge of the line of the beach. And you could see the fan and the edge of the river water and the salt water. And I actually mentioned to somebody, oh yeah, you can actually fish for freshwater fish here, and you can fish for saltwater fish there. And if you're trying to catch a saltwater fish right here at the mouth of this river, you're not going to catch anything because they're not going to go in there. And that, to me, is a class example of where you think the line might be between you and the organization. It might actually be in a different place, and the edge is kind of ragged. And as a general rule, you want to be careful about asserting your individual type or character or status in terms of a defense against how the organization wants you to behave. Now, again, I could talk about that for hours. It may be one of the most interesting things I've learned, or most fundamental things, maybe not interesting, fundamental things I've learned about managing in organizations and why we create organizations and what we agree to and what we're essentially agreeing to, whether we realize it or not, when we join an organization in terms of, as we've said before, you know, you lose some of your individual rights and privileges in return for the enormous benefit of being an organization. So therefore, that defense of I'm a this, so therefore I don't have to do that, is generally a non sequitur when it comes to organizations and people. And we experience that here at Manager Tools, and we know some of you do with your directs who are managers, or, you know, if you're a leader or HR or trainer or whatever, you hear that all the time. Yeah, I'm a creative person, I don't have to do it. You don't have, if I'm talking to you as a director now, or as the person who's experiencing this from a subordinate or a colleague, you don't have to let that person, quote, be themselves, you know, be a creative person, if that result means they're not going to be good managers. You don't. I mean, within reason, I can't tell my boss, you can't behave that way. But if I have some sway over the person, I would encourage you, don't allow a person just to, quote, be themselves if you believe it's misguided. Now, the better relationship you have with them, the more likely you are to be persuasive, obviously. But if what someone is doing doesn't work as well as another method, particularly when there's a pile of data to support it, that person doesn't get to keep doing what they're doing just because they like doing things that way. That's not how organizations are meant to work. In fact, one of the benefits of organizations is the transfer of learning. I mean, it sounds really sci-fi, but it's like a hive mind where if one person does something better, the organization learns about it. And the organization, of course, is people within the organization. And everybody benefits from what one person learns. Whereas if we were working independently, I wouldn't know. In fact, if we were working independently, it's highly likely we would be competitors if we were in the same industry. And that would mean that you wouldn't want me to know about the breakthrough or the efficiency or the new idea that's making a difference in your business. Look, being a creative person isn't a sufficient defense against learning the basics of management any more than being, say, a highly logical person is a defense against having to work with other people, right? I mean, I hear this all the time from engineers and from developers and scientists. Oh, yeah, I don't work with other people. I'm an engineer. I don't like working with other people. I'm like, yeah, okay, well. Unfortunately for you, all the jobs with dogs and trees in our company are taken. So when somebody says, hey, I'm creative, and to some degree, this cast is about defending that creative bit, but as you might imagine, we have other casts in the future about defending against other examples of this, but the outline is essentially the same. You don't get to claim individual preference against all possible systems that the organization would use. That's not to say that every system is good. Sometimes individuality is good, but when you assert it, the organization, people in the organization have an obligation to tell you, in this area, that may not be a reasonable rationale for being yourself. Typically, the stated reason for a manager not wanting to engage in almost any prescriptive managerial behavior, but in this case, we're talking about one-on-ones because it's the first step. And the reason we choose the first step, guys, is because if you do engage in one-on-ones and you approach it from a professional perspective, even if you are creative, and you start getting the benefits of it, you're going to be back to the well of your friend who turned you on to one-on-ones and going to say, what else? Is there anything else that I can do after one-on-one? That stuff really worked. I really feel good about this. Is there more, you know? And then you're a lifelong friend and you have them where you want them. But typically the reason is a fairly doctrinaire one. And they say, you know, creative people mistakenly believe that rules, and guys, no offense, but this is typically more true of younger creative people, people who are older who see themselves as creative. When I talked to them about this, they were like, no, that's classic. I used to think that. I've since learned, you know, it's not true, this idea that rules and creativity are somehow opposites. I think for Mike and I, a parallel learning in our careers was both of us said to ourselves, I said it quite publicly, Mike was smart enough to say it in a politically correct fashion, keeping his head down. He said it only to himself, which is, I'm not going to play politics. I'm just going to do my job better than everybody else, and they're not going to be able to ignore me. Well, there are so many things wrong with that sentence, including the phrase playing politics, that it's crazy. But we have since learned that it's not playing politics to create relationships and build trust with your colleagues so that your ideas can be heard,
exactly.
Right? Because your job is, in fact, getting your ideas implemented that will help the organization improve its effectiveness and its results. So these young people, but there are old people who believe it too in terms of creativity. Rules and creativity are opposites. They believe that rules squelch or quash creative efforts, or that creativity is by definition somehow a freedom from rules. But when I put it that way, most people go, oh no, that's false, right? That's no. Rules and creativeness are not purely opposites. Look, it's completely understandable that some people feel that rules and creativity are opposites. In pop culture, there's all kinds of stories of incredibly creative people. Now, unfortunately, when we're younger in our careers, earlier in our careers, the popular culture stories that many people are exposed to relative to creativity are those people in the arts. And in that case, one of the things that's more likely to get attention through popular media, whether it be books or TV or movies or documentaries, would be people who are interesting or different or unusual, because they don't put boring people on TV. And I mean, the classic example of that, of course, is if TV were boring, no cop would ever fire his gun on TV. Well, that wouldn't make for very interesting TV. And, well, by the way, if it were boring, if it were real, no CEO would be a murderer on TV. But it seems like every second CEO on TV is a murderer.
Of course. I know lots of them. Yeah, they're all over the place.
Yeah. So the problem is that you see these, quote, creative, unquote, people, and they're larger than life. And in some cases, there are pretty direct intimations that this person is creative because they're manic. This person is creative because they're bipolar. This person is creative because they're hard to be around. And yet that unfortunately skews the discussion away from people who are incredibly creative and are not necessarily hard to be around. And folks, please don't write me and tell me that I've just said something that is somehow insensitive to those folks who struggle with mental illness. I've managed people with mental illness. I've seen mental illness in my family. Whatever you've heard, whatever I just said that somehow offends you, rest assured, that's your offense. Your inference is not my intimation. But yeah, rules and creativity are not opposite. Yeah, I understand that some people feel that way. But someone who is being creative is someone who is willing to try new and different things without knowing how they'll turn out. And that, frankly, doesn't sound like somebody following the rules. They're willing to ignore the standard way of doing things. Generally speaking, creative people are seen as taking risks, and risk and rules are kind of opposites in that way. And I'm saying this, folks, so that if you're an engineer like me, you don't have a knee-jerk response to the creative person who's saying, I don't want to do one-on-ones. And I want you to get inside their head a little bit and understand to some degree why they made me feeling the way they are. And they're not stupid. They have a reasonable point of view to them. And you're going to get a lot further persuading another person to your point of view by understanding and showing some respect by spending time thinking about how it is they came to the thought that creative people don't need rules and therefore don't need processes or systems or step-by-step procedures and so therefore don't need one-on-ones. And look, they ignore the standard way of doing things and they're hoping that their new and different way is actually better, right? And generally organizations like better. And what they would say is, if you're always following the rules, then you can't create a new or better way. And all that stuff is true after a fashion. But again, the doctrinaire defense of creativity, is still misleading. And here's why. By the definition I've been espousing here for the last couple of minutes, the creative person would be able to get a pass. They'd be able to avoid virtually any rule or corporate-wide system or process that is prescriptive or even is seen as a little bit rigid, like you have to do B after A. You can't do it the other way around. Take it to extreme. No rules would apply to any person who described themselves as creative. And look, we've done this before, but I'll do it again because we're always getting new listeners. And somebody may be listening for the first time because they think this cast is the answer to their question about one of their managers who reports to them who won't do one-on-ones. We can show this idea to be really silly with a couple of thought experiments we've used more broadly here at Manager Tools. Suppose your organization's expense accounting procedures used an app on people's phones and photos of receipts and had essentially electronic reimbursements. Pretty normal in 2018 when we're recording this podcast. One of your directs, however, says to you, as a creative person, I'm not a systems person, or I don't trust big banks with my data because I'm a creative person. And he goes on to say, so I won't be using the corporate expense accounting system. I'm not that kind of person, which, by the way, is vaguely judgmental, but that's a whole separate cast. I just like to bring you paper receipts and you give me cash to cover whatever I tell you verbally were my expenses. Now, the chances that any manager that's normal would say, oh, sure, that's fine. Yeah, no problem. Want you to feel totally comfortable in everything you do around here. Anytime, right? And to me, this is an example like that of a manager saying yes to someone like this. That would be the start of a book, like If You Give a Mouse a Cookie. Here's another one. Your company, which uses fairly standard badge in, badge out procedures for security and facilities control and so on, hires somebody who used to have their own company and she worked out of her home. On her first day, you hand her a badge and, as part of her welcome packet, and she says, oh, I'm sorry. I'm not a badge person. I see myself as a free and creative thinker. I don't need a badge. I just need to have access to what I want when I want it. Or, well, just easy, you just give me total access, which would simplify things enormously for you. But again, I won't wear a badge. It's not my thing. It's not me.
I don't let walls contain me.
Yes. Now, I know what people are thinking. Oh, come on. That doesn't happen. Folks, don't scoff. We repeat these two examples. They have both happened to managers we know. They actually happened. Employees claimed that their personal style and creative nature ought to exempt them from reasonable and standard rules and procedures. And again, no reasonable manager would countenance this kind of behavior from a direct. It would be a simple case of, yeah, I'm sorry, this is the way we do it. If you travel and you don't use the expense system, you're not getting reimbursed. And, oh, by the way, you have to have a badge. Sorry. We have to know where you are in case there's a fire or there's an active shooter, the latest phrase, which I don't particularly care for that phrase, but that's for another day. Look, by definition, folks, we all give up some of our individual preferences when we join an organization and therefore are able to benefit from being in the organization. And despite the common thinking that managerial behaviors are somehow exempted, I alluded to this before, they're exempted from this loss of individuality. They're not. Managerial behaviors are one of many systems in the organization that can either energize or innervate the organization. And unfortunately, in the modern world today, it's usually the latter. So creativity is not an intelligent, rational, supportable defense. We say this to start out. So I'm not saying the creative person doesn't think it or feel it, but they're wrong. They're just simply wrong. Now we're not saying they're a wrong person. We just say, like many of the ideas we all hold, was it Will Rogers that said, or maybe it was Mark Twain, it's not the things you don't know that'll kill you. It's the things you do know that are wrong. Well, you know, this is one of those things. And it's certainly easier as an individual to say, this is the kind of person I am, and so therefore I don't want to do that. Well, yeah, you get to go around being yourself. Your goal, folks, is not to hire people who get to go around being themselves. Your goal is to hire people who are willing to seek effectiveness and are willing to say, I'm an effective person, and so that means I'm willing to be adjustable in terms of what my typical tendencies and behavioral traits are in service of effectiveness, provided one keeps in mind ethical and professional norms and so on. The idea then that someone says creative and therefore that can trump effective, that's not how organizations work. Whether your executives are telling you that or not, it doesn't matter. Most of them just aren't talking about this kind of stuff. That's not how organizations are supposed to work. I'll mention one other thing before we talk about why creativity is good. It's been our experience at Manager Tools, Mike and I, particularly, that most people who describe themselves as creative are actually just stating about themselves a self-created identity. They often talk about being creative or being a creative person. But folks, creativity isn't a state of mind. There are some mental processes and mental states of mind which are associated with higher levels of putting out creative ideas and seeking to test them to determine if they're better. But creativity, generally, one's creativity isn't measured as one's or isn't able to be assumed or claimed because of your state of mind. It's actually a state of doing. The way to be a creative person is actually, and longtime listeners will love this, is to do creative things. It's certainly okay to claim your own identity and say, I'm a creative person, but someone who self-selects the identity of creative ought to be able to show a history of innovations and improvements that are measurable. Maybe perhaps even in their personal life. But let me go further and say, dressing in unconventional ways, enjoying new or avant-garde art, music, theater, books, periodicals, are not only not sufficient to claim creativeness, they're also not necessary. And our point with that is when somebody comes to you and says, well, you know, I'm a creative person, you know that about me. I'm not suggesting you grill them on what they've done that's creative, but recognize that it's entirely possible that person has an identity of that, and you don't need to challenge their identity so much as you need to see creativity for what it is, which is activity as opposed to thought. And if a person has a creative identity, we can appreciate that, we can respect that, and we can tell them there are some systems and processes, including even management, that require that they understand the underlying principles and perhaps behave in certain ways to massively increase their ability to get the results the organization wants.
Thanks, everyone. That's it for this week. We'll finish this one up next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.